We are members of the royal family, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. These are very important moments for us as we've come to the point of just remembering what our Savior has done and is doing for us. We pray that we will be able to have open hearts and receptive hearts and minds to your truth today. We realize that we have many good things to remember. Bless us, we pray, in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll open your Old Testaments, please, to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. I would encourage all of you, if you will, please, to get your Bible. Go to your Old Testament. Find the book of Genesis and then get into the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head, its legs, along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Good things to remember. How the Lord's table first began. I've just read for you from the book of Exodus. The children of Israel, God's chosen, had grown from a family to a huge nation. They were in Egypt, a strange land, as slaves. God has plans, had plans for this nation to move its promised land area, Judea, Samaria, so forth. Moses would lead them, but each family had to observe a new ordinance. A death angel was coming through Egypt as a plague to kill the oldest boy in each family. This was punishment to the Egyptians because of their attitude toward the Jews and their restrictions upon them. The Lord made a provision for all people who would obey His words so that this tragedy would not come upon their families. They were ordered to kill an animal, catch the blood in a basin, and put that blood over all three sides of their front doorposts. When the death angel came by, if the people did what had been instructed, the death angel would pass over and no discipline would be theirs. They were to stay inside the house, eat unleavened bread for a week. Then that night, eat the meat of the slain animal. The Jews who obeyed were spared. God told them to do this every year as an ordinance. Exodus 12, 24 and 25, to remember. Here we have an emphasis upon the biblical concept of memory. You and I, at this point of time, have opportunity to utilize this gift of God for us, which is memory. The scripture says that there is a Passover shadow. We can call this the Passover shadow. Why? A shadow is a representation of the real, but not real. Through the years from this pulpit, your pastor has told you of his love for his dad. His dad passed away at the age of 88. When I was a little boy, my dad and I would walk the road out in front of our farmhouse. The sun would be brightly shining across his body, and his body would present for me his shadow on the ground. I've told you many times over the years, if I wanted to say to my dad, "Dad, I love you," I would not fall down and hug the shadow, because my dad was real and alive and by my side. The shadow is a representation of the real thing, but not the real thing. A shadow is pointing to a time when Jesus Christ would give himself totally on the cross, and God, our Heavenly Father, would judge Jesus Christ for our sins, and he would then be propitiated or satisfied. We would not receive the judgment from God's justice, but it would pass over to the Lord Jesus Christ instead. In the shadow, it was a Passover to an animal. The Passover, a shadow. In the Old Testament, we have many shadows. This shadow was done yearly to point to Jesus Christ and what he would do. The unleavened bread, which means no yeast or rising agent, means that Jesus would have no sin in him. The blood meant that Jesus would die spiritually and physically for our sins. Notice, if you will, that animal life is in the blood. Human life is in the soul. The last Passover with the disciples was also the first Lord's table. Jesus always does things right. Beautiful verses in Matthew 26, 26 to 29, 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. In these verses of Scripture, he sought to explain to the unknowing disciples that he was the Passover lamb who would be offered on the very day of the Jews' celebrated Passover to be a visible sign to the perceptive Jew. No more animals would have to be slain. The shadow becomes insignificant when the reality is present. That was the reason why when my dad was there, why would I hug the shadow? The shadow blood would not have to be collected in the basin anymore. His blood meant that he himself would die both spiritually and physically. The animal's blood and Christ's spiritual death blood compared, which means the total work of Christ on the cross. Animal blood, the animal's life was and is today in the blood. The animals were tied down while kicking to be freed, stabbed in the throat. The animal's blood was caught in a dish. He was skinned, his insides burned, his meat eaten by the priest. Christ's spiritual death, he did not have to be tied. The scripture says he laid down his life voluntarily. Beautifully presented to us in John chapter 19, 16, all the way to verse 30. I written myself a note to read, but time will not prevent that. Time will not present that now, but put down John 19, 16 to 30 and read it, please. Jesus Christ did not bleed to death because his life was in his soul, not in his blood. He gave up his own life. The blood of Christ then refers to the total work of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. Jesus commanded the believers of the church age to regularly have a remembrance time. That's the reason why we're having this remembrance time. This is presented to us in 1 Corinthians 11, 25 and 26. The pastor represents the Lord and leads a special time. A special time is set aside for this worship. Our church through the years will do this every 3 months. On the table are two elements. Bread, representing the humanity of Christ, his physical body. As you will all know, the bread has no leaven in it because the Lord's humanity had no sin. This is a beautiful picture of purity. When we partake of the bread, we recall what Jesus Christ has done for us. Life, death, resurrection, ascension. It's always wonderful for me to be able to think about this. All of us are aware of the fact that God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, deity too, the pre-existent Christ, became the existent Christ, which means he became God in the flesh. He gave his life. He died on the cross. He was resurrected. He ascended. This is a wonderful time for us to reflect on that biblical concept of divine decrees, upon the justice of God, upon righteousness, upon the virgin birth, upon the hypostatic union, upon redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, the cross, session, the high priesthood. Are you able to see what I'm doing there is presenting to you these major, beautiful, magnificent spiritual concepts, doctrines of the Word of God? Another element, the wine. That's his covenant to us. The provision, royalty, priest, indwelling Christ, indwelling Holy Spirit. No animal sacrifices now. Some rules for us to remember. There has to be truth in the soul for us to have a significant service right now. Truth in the soul makes this service meaningful. I'm aware of the fact that we come into the auditorium and we spend these moments in silence. The importance of those silent moments is actually determined by the truth in your soul and in mine. If there's nothing there, it's just a matter of a few minutes passing by. But truth in the soul makes those silent moments extremely meaningful. It makes the observance of the Lord's table meaningful. We have to be in fellowship. That's the reason why when we go to 1 Corinthians 11, there's a real explaining emphasis on what it's like to be out of fellowship and in fellowship. The observance is meaningful when we're in fellowship. While observing, our responsibility is to use that quiet time to let our minds go over these great, magnificent, beautiful, spiritual subjects, doctrines, biblical concepts. It's a time to remember. God gives us the gift of memory. Remembering is thinking of something, place, or person you've known before. Remembering what you know of God is an important part of worship. The psalmist gives us a tremendous amount of information in Psalm 145, 1 through 10. On the importance of remembering what you know of God. It's an important part of our worship. Remembering brings happiness on the inside. In Proverbs 10:7 and in Lamentation 3:17-24, we're told there that remembering brings happiness on the inside. It's sad, but people often try to drown problems. Sometimes they try to drown their problems by alcohol. And that's described in Proverbs 4, 5, 6, and 7. Most of us are aware of the fact that a person who rejects Jesus Christ ends up in a place of eternal punishment. That's what Luke 16:25 reveals to us. When I say Luke 16, what does that do to you? Does it remind you of having studied that, the rich man and Lazarus? If you haven't read that recently, you ought to go back and read Luke 16. And you have an emphasis there on what it's like to die without Jesus Christ. We must remember the authority of the Word of God and the communication of the Word of God. What we've done over the last 43 years and what we're doing now, and the Lord lets us live for the next year, it's the Word of God that gives to us the guarding of our souls, protection of our souls. The writer of the book of Hebrews describes this in Hebrews 13:7-17. Which is one of the most challenging verses for the pastor that I've ever found. It says in these verses that the pastor is responsible for the souls of the congregation. What a challenge. If the pastor has a responsibility for your protection of your soul, that means that my responsibility is a heavy one. All you have to do is look at Hebrews 13:7-17 and you will discover how heavy the responsibility is of the pastor. The pastor is to guard the souls of the congregation. Taking in God's word gives us the truth, the good things to remember. And 2 Peter describes this beautifully in chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Notice, if you will, a critical mind eliminates one's ability to remember the good things. I'm sorry to have to tell you, but there are many people who have critical minds. A critical mind eliminates one's ability to remember the good things about other individuals. Remembering is very, very important. Remembering is very important for God's Word to build in our souls. Psalm 119:83 tells us that. Verse 93 also, Psalm 119. Psalm 119:109 and 141 and 153, 174. If you will, write those verses down. Psalm 119, 83, 93, 109, 141, 153, 174. Remembering is very important for God's Word to build in our souls. When people go against God's will and God's plan, the Word of God and remembering God's truth will be forgotten. Oh, how sad. That's the reason when you go to 1 Corinthians 11:26, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes again." Our men will now come for the observance of the Lord's table with our wonderful church family. Reading now from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received the Lord which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Notice, if you will, please, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord out of fellowship in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man or let an individual examine himself or herself, and so let the individual eat then the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment will bring judgment to himself if he does not first of all judge rightly. For this reason many among you are weak and sick, a number even sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together for the Lord's table to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you may not come together for judgment. And the remaining matters I shall arrange when I come." We now join together in prayer. Father, we're thankful for the fact that Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth, give himself totally for all of us. We realize that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Heaven is our eternal home. And we're here today to remember the broken body, the shed blood of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. The bread represents the Lord Jesus Christ, whose body was broken for us. Take and eat thereof. Father, we're thankful again today, not only for the willingness of our Savior to go to the cross, but his desire to fulfill his Father's plan. And it is our desire now, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to fulfill the Father's plan. We're thankful for the fact of your willingness to give everything. We realize today that we are the recipients of that magnificent gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, and we are thankful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You will retain the cup until all have been served. We have not been redeemed by corrupt things like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. Remember, as we take this cup, we remember the willingness of our Savior Jesus Christ to be our substitute. Take and drink thereof. It is our custom to sing page 324. Sly will lead us, page 324, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Thank you, Sly. May we stand, please.
When
I surveyed the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory count but loss, and for contempt on all my pride, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. Death of Christ, my God, I'm lamenting, I stir me most. I sacrifice them to His blood. Done this. Jason, second lieutenant. Let's give him a hand. Very good. You want to say anything?
This is thanks.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you so much. You're dismissed.